Well, hello everyone, and we're glad to be together to study a very important subject from the Word of God. God's Word has the instructions to make us the complete person that He wants us to be. And one of the things that we need to have is a bridled tongue. We need to control our speech. And we're going to read a verse from James, or several verses from James, as a matter of fact, about our speech. And first of all, concerning our speech, we want to read James 1, 26 and 27. James 1, 26 and 27. It says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." If we do not control our tongue, the Bible clearly says, very clearly, your religion is vain. So that makes it paramount. Also in James 1 and verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Now that's how we bridle our tongue. We slow down our speech. And it goes on to say why we should slow our speech down and be slow to wrath. James 1 and 20 says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." If we get angry and run off at the mouth, our anger is not going to result in the righteousness of God. And so we need to be very careful what we say and control our speech. Furthermore, in James chapter 3, in verse number 6, it says in chapter 3 and verse 6, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." And so our tongue can get us in a place we don't want to be, and that's hell. And it's full of poison. It is a fire. It can cause damage. In chapter 3 and verse 5 of James, it says, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And so our tongue is very small in consideration of our body. But it can get us into big trouble. It's like a wildfire. And down here in Texas this year, we've had a drought and we've had some wildfires. And I'm telling you, they are hard to control. They destroy houses. They destroy property. And this year, they've also destroyed many, many cattle, many herds. And so our tongue is like that. Our tongue can destroy things. It is a fire. It's like a wildfire. And then verse 7 of James 3 says, "For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind." You know, it makes me think of going to SeaWorld and see the trained dolphins and the trained killer whales. He says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil." It's an evil full of deadly poison. Our tongues can be poison. We can destroy things. We can destroy our own chance of getting to heaven with our tongue. It's an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. Verse 9 says, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. And then he says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. We should never be a person who sends out cursings and sends out blessings. We need to control our tongue. We do not need to be cursing. We do not need to be putting out poison with our tongues. And it certainly can do that. It's like a raging fire. It causes destruction far and wide. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 something very, very important as we consider bridling the tongue today. And as we think about our speech, Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Condemned means we're going to lose our soul. We can either save our soul or we can lose our soul by the words that we speak. No wonder the writer of the Proverbs said in Proverbs 18 and 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life. Yes, you can be justified or you can be condemned. You can live eternally in heaven or you can live horribly in hell by the words that we speak. And this is why this subject is so very, very important. This is a significant study, and we are wanting to save people from hell. And we do that by speaking on things that can keep them out of heaven. And our words can certainly keep us out of heaven. We're living in an age when people just say anything and everything that comes into their head, their thinking. Now, we have forbidden speech in the Bible. There are things that you must not say, you cannot say. And we have a list of things in Proverbs 6 that God just hates. Not only does he hate them, he says they're an abomination unto him. I don't want to read that list because there are seven things there, and two of those things have to do with the tongue. Proverbs 6, and we're going to start in verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yes, seven are an abomination unto him. Now watch this. Two of these have to do with our mouth. It's an abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue. A lying tongue is an abomination to God. He hates that. Now, all of us have probably told a lie, but we've got to stop lying. We have to stop fabricating lies. Sometimes we'll say, well, I've got an excuse. But your excuse is nothing more than a lie. When you say, I can't do that, I have a headache, but you don't have a headache, you just lied. When you say, I've got too many things to do, I can't help you, it may be that you're lying about that, that you do not have many things to do. Let us be careful that excuses that we come up with, and many times they are nothing but a lie. It's not a reason. There's a difference between a reason and an excuse. An excuse may not be true. A reason should always be true. And so a lying tongue is something that God hates. And then it also says, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. And so we have it again, lies by way of false witness, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. God hates someone who sows discord. What does that mean? You're a troublemaker. You're stirring up trouble with your words. And God hates that. You're a troublemaker. Sometimes people make trouble in their own homes. They aggravate their husband or they aggravate their wife, and they know how to push their buttons. They call it, I know how to push his buttons. I can cause him to get aggravated by what I say. You need to be careful about that. Then another sin, not only is lying and false witness is a sin and sowing discord among the brethren, those things God hates. God hates every one of those things. They're an abomination unto him. But furthermore, tale-bearing is a sin. Tale-bearing, that's another word for gossip. In Proverbs 18 and verse number 8, I want to read this for you. It says, "The words of a tale-bearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." Gossip hurts people. Tale-bearing. You go around telling tales on people. Proverbs 17 and verse number 9. "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends." Tale-bearer. A gossiper. And we don't even need to be listening to gossip and running people down and criticizing people. We don't even need to be listening to that kind of thing. Don't even listen to gossip. I know we have entire television programs about movie stars and telling about them and sneaking around and finding out information about them. That's tale-bearing. That's gossiping. And God hates that. And if you commit that, you have committed a sin. But let's go over to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read of some other sins of the tongue. We have a whole list of sins here. And in Romans 1 and verse 29, it says, "Being filled with all unrighteousness." What is the unrighteousness that they're filled with? Well, fornication and wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers. People who deceive. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but they're deceptive. But it says whisperers. That's harmful. You don't want to speak it out in public, but you go around and whisper it in private. You whisper probably some information that's really embarrassing to someone, so you go around and tell it in a sneaky way. You may be slandering someone. You may be gossiping about someone. And when you're whispering information, you need to be careful what you're saying. You need to stop and say, "Why am I whispering this?" But then also in Romans 1, verse 30 says, backbiters. Backbiters. You're hurting people behind their back. It's slander. You're running them down behind their back. You're not doing it to their face. You're doing it behind their back. God says that a backbiter is a person who's practicing unrighteousness. But that passage of verse 30 goes on and says, "Haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, boasting. I'm smarter than you. I'm better than you. I'm more capable than you." You know, Muhammad Ali, he did a lot of that. "I'm the greatest. I'm the prettiest." And he boasted about a lot of things. Well, the Bible goes on to say concerning this list of things, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They even enjoy doing it. They know it's wrong, but they do it. It's worthy of death. And they love doing that. They love talking about people and spreading juicy information, private information about people. Beloved, if you don't bridle your tongue, your religion is vain. We need to keep that in mind as we study these very important matters. Furthermore, in Romans 3 and verse 13, it talks about being a deceitful person. Their throat is an open sepulcher. That means it's going to cause them to go to a grave. And their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Look at that, their mouth. And so those who speak bitter words, those who speak deceitful words, are those who are sinning. Now, false teachers deceive people. The devil deceived Adam and Eve. And if we get into deceiving people, we're right there with the devil. And there's the group you're in. And so we need to be very careful what we're saying, because these things are commonly practiced in our world today. And I want to warn you about these and caution you not to do that. Now let's turn to Ephesians 4 and verse 29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now what kind of corrupt communication is that talking about? Well, what we've just been studying. A false witness. A tale bearer. A whisperer. A backbiter. That is corrupt communication coming out of your mouth. We've just read that. And we're not to do that. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, what should proceed out of our mouth? But that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let's talk about good things. Let's talk about wholesome information. Let's be encouraging. Let's try to find good things to say about someone. And also in this same passage of Ephesians chapter 4, it says down in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Evil speaking. What is evil speaking? What is corrupt speech? It's what we've been talking about and what we are going to continue to talk about. Evil speaking could be insulting people. It could be belittling people. We are not to be speaking evil of anyone and belittling people and being a smart aleck to people. That's not what we're supposed to be about. Not a Christian. A Christian doesn't speak evil. A Christian doesn't let corrupt communication proceed out of his mouth. And then notice in Ephesians 5 and verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Now we're Christians. Don't let this stuff come out of your mouth. Then it says this, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Now, we're not to be foolish talkers, talking foolishly. You know, some of these songs are foolish songs, and jive talking, and trash talking, talking like a fool. That shouldn't be a Christian. And jesting, it says. Nor jesting. Dirty humor. crude joking, off-color subject matter. Dearly beloved, let's don't talk about things that ought to be private. When you go into a bathroom, those things in that bathroom are private because you close the door. Let's don't be making off-color jokes. Let's be careful what we say. Ephesians 5 and 11 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Let's don't hang around people like that, who talk like that and speak off-colored speech and embarrassing and shameful. I don't know if people even know what shameful speaking is now. But then look at Ephesians 6 and verse 4. "And fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath." Well, how would you do that? Well, one of the ways you can do it is with words. Pushing their buttons. Getting them aggravated. Knowing how to aggravate them and to get them angry. That's not for fathers to do. Hey, just because we see something on TV and think that makes it accepted and people are laughing at it, that must be funny, let's do it too, that doesn't mean God approves of it. That doesn't mean God approves of it at all. We need to be careful what we're saying. We can cancel out our religion by the things that we say. Let us be cautioned, brethren, to only speak wholesome words, pure words. Leave that restroom talk. Get rid of it. And then 1 Peter 2 and verse 17. You know what? When we're talking to someone, listen to what this verse says. "Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God." That's what we better do, is fear God concerning this speech. "Honor the king." Let's honor all men with our speech. That's how you honor them, isn't it? You speak well of them. All men. You don't speak disparagingly against men. Your spouse, your children, people in your family, people in the church. We must speak well of the church in front of our children. People talk about the church is losing her children. The church is losing her children. Well, I wonder what's going on in that home. If we're losing our children, what's going on in that home? Are people talking about the preacher running him down, and the elders and running them down, running down members of the church? Are we doing that at home in front of our children? No wonder we're losing our children. Beloved, I want to encourage you to speak well of the church in front of your children. Don't be a stumbling block. Matthew 18, don't be an offense to your children. If you offend one of these little children, you cause them to stumble, it's better that a millstone hanged around your neck and you be cast into the depths of the sea. If you cause one of your children to quit the church because you have been gossiping at home and slandering people at home and running them down at home, and leave the dead alone. Leave dead people alone. Of all people, you don't need to be slandering them. Speak well of the church. Speak well of the members of the Lord's church. Build other people up. Don't tear them down. This is God's will. He wants us to have good speech, impeccable speech. And if you don't know what a word means, you need to look it up in the dictionary. The word gosh is a euphemism for God. The word heck is a euphemism for hell. The word darn is a euphemism for damn. Let's keep our speech pure. We're going to be judged, and our words can either condemn us or justify us. Remember that. Our speech is very, very important. Thank you for tuning in today. Let's be careful to bridle our tongues. God bless you, and hang in there.